Yo guys, how's it going? It's Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013, and this is the 7th episode of Social Echoes, the True Voice Media podcast. If you're ready to go, let's get rolling. Hi there, I hope you're having a great week. My name is John Steyert, and thank you very much for listening into Social Echoes from True Voice Media. I'm very pleased to have our guest Ed Siders in here with me tonight, but before we get started with our conversation, I wanted to kind of briefly talk about something that was announced today on TechCrunch, and that was the discussion of Twitter's video service from the acquisition of a little company called Vine, and the different little things that you're going to be able to do once Twitter rolls out this feature. And the article kind of brings up a lot of different points, and I am going to have, Ed and I will discuss this later on in the show, but it really kind of shows the idea of what mobile video wants to become. It wants to become very shareable, very instantaneous, and not so muddied to get through. The first video that was shared was through Twitter's current CEO, Dick Costello. And it was just a simple video of a waiter making steak tartare. It was a 6-second video, and it seemed to be edited. I don't know how they edited, but it was edited very quickly, probably within the app. So it's very exciting to see something like that come along because of the obvious opportunities that come along with mobile video that would be kind of the Instagram variety for video. The quick sharing, the easy application to edit and share. And obviously you have the downside of it, and the same thing that's going on with Snapchat right now, with parents kind of concerned with the privacy of their children, what their children are doing with it. This can kind of be the same type of double-edged sword, where marketers see it as a big boon, and you know, common users see it as a lot of fun to use and share different images and video. But parents, of course, looking at it as another trap for their children to get into. So it should be very interesting to see what Twitter does with Vine. They should be rolling it out within the next few months. So I'm glad that we have a video expert in with us tonight. Ed Siders is the owner-founder of Branded Productions in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and he's done a lot of different work and projects with True Voice Media. Ed, welcome into Social Echoes. Of course. So before we get started with some different questions, I just wanted to kind of ask you about your background in video, how you got started with Branded Productions, what kind of made you kind of jump into the video space? Right. I remember when you first started your videography career, the stuff that you had purchased, and I was I think a sophomore when you were a senior, and you were so involved and so excited about the prospects of the equipment that, you know, the different opportunities that it offered to you, and you were so excited with it, and you were so you just threw yourself into the work, which you still do. The stuff that you produce and everybody at your company is, you know, spectacular. Yeah, I just think it's terrific that you were able to kind of find it so young. So when you were talking about the corporate side of video, where do companies find kind of the value in what video can provide to them? I think it's ironic, by the way, that, you know, we're only doing the audio version of Social Echoes tonight simply because Google Plus, for the second time we're trying to do this podcast, is not being cooperative. So it's only fitting that when we bring the video guy on, the video doesn't work properly for either of us. I think the improv point is a very good one, because being in social all the time, it certainly happens to us. I mean, obviously, we're trying very hard. We wanted to get you on the video podcast, have it be recorded, and have it set up that way. But again, we have to have the contingency plan, and we kind of had to improvise tonight, but we figured it out, and here we are discussing it. And hopefully, by the time this gets uploaded to iTunes and everywhere else on the internet, it'll be okay. But especially in social, you have to have the different crisis management, the risk management plans in place before you do anything. And I think that's a very good lesson that you kind of bring with video, because I, you know, when I was in high school working with you, I certainly was aware of everything and anything that could go wrong in that TV studio at any given moment. And it was like, it was always like, oh geez, I wonder what's going to happen with this broadcast or whatever. And it just was going to happen regardless. So it's always very good to be prepared, in no matter what industry it is, or no matter how foolproof you think that it is. So Ed, go ahead. So let's get to some online conversion points. You were talking about earlier that if a company comes in, they do a $7,000 video or something, and they're getting back anywhere from 60 to 100 grand from that video, that obviously is great value for them. I think another big part of it too is that you're seeing more and more, and the data kind of points back to this too. People are doing a lot more kind of like just browsing, shopping online, and they're kind of going away from speaking to a salesperson immediately. So they're doing their own reconnaissance and their own information hunting by themselves before they even talk to a sales rep. And basically, in business to business, about 60% of the time, people are making their buying decisions, their buying decisions are being made up to about 60% through the entire buying process. So by the time you go and speak to somebody at a company, 60% of that decision is already been made. They already know 60% of what you do. So I think that video can really kind of be something that's dynamic in the information. Have you seen an influx in B2B companies kind of asking for your services to place online? Yeah, it's passive sales, and that's a great way to get the most for your money, really. You're placing something up there that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, and you don't really have to pay it a salary. It's the best salesperson that perhaps you could find. And it's a good way to kind of give a test drive of whatever your product is. It's like when I'm looking for a new pair of shoes or, for me, a new hockey stick. I want to see what the reviews are, not just in text, but of course in video. What is that shoe going to look like in other different directions, the 360 panoramic view? How is that stick going to bend? They're visually, you can't get any further from the absolute truth of what that product is or what the service is. I think people kind of get like a little antsy when you think, okay, well, consultation, how can I actually visualize it? Well, for True Voice Media, we know that we actually contacted Branded Video to put together a short little video of what True Voice Media actually does. And the visuals work out perfectly, and it allows us to be humanized, which kind of brings me back to another question. You know, video allows people to be humanized, obviously, because if it's your company, if it's your brand, it's you out in front of it, it allows for a better kind of connection with your customer or a vendor or whatever is whoever's looking at it in the intended audience. So how about like some of the campaigns? Have you seen some really good examples outside of Old Spice, which everybody uses Old Spice as a really good YouTube kind of like video example? What have been some of the better video campaigns in your opinion? Well, have you seen the one for BlendTech? Are you familiar with that one? So it's just okay. So a blender company, right? And you would think that okay, so you stick a whole bunch of fruit in there and maybe some ice cream, and you get some cool milkshakes, right? And that's not really all that fun. Everybody knows how that goes. And they basically created a campaign with this hokey kind of like, you know, 1970s game show, maybe even like 60s game show, music and graphics. And it's about anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes each video. And they have over 220 million views on their entire YouTube channel. And basically what they do is they take like electronic items or things that you would never ever blend in your own house with this blender. But they always were touting just how strong and how awesome these blenders were. And they have pulverized iPads, they've pulverized iPhones, computers, keyboards, silverware, you name it. Anything that doesn't belong in a blender, they have blended and kind of made it into a fine powder. And it has really created quite the, they hate to use the word, but a viral sensation for them. And companies, I think, sometimes see that and they end up saying, I want that viral thing. How many times do people come to you requesting that you make them a viral video? from a share. Go ahead. For the videos that do get shared and they get massive shares, or then they end up getting what many would call viral status, do you think that there's a secret ingredient to any of these, like anything that you see? I think maybe it almost would kind of just tie back to the emotion of it, because you think about, okay, Charlie bit my finger. You're laughing at it, and you're kind of remembering, even if you don't have kids or you have, little nieces and nephews or cousins, like you said, everybody can identify with that. The Chocolate Rain video, everybody can identify with trying to be a star at something in their own, whether it's in the shower when you're singing or when you're in a car by yourself. You just sing your heart out, and nobody cares. I think obviously that is the human element that might be. And I'm not telling you that I have the secret to viral video. Otherwise, that would be a lot of fun. Certainly, it's like what do you do? I make viral videos, and yes, they work. So you mentioned cell phone videos. I'm fascinated by them, and I'm going to get to the Vine and Twitter acquisition in 1 second. I still think that there's a lot to do with the ease of sharing video, especially with Android, the older versions of Android, like I have. It's just not very useful. But I think moving forward, is there anything? And it could even be Vine. Do you think that there's anything in the future, I would say future, in the relatively near future, that's going to kind of achieve the same type of status that an Instagram did for photo? Like this product X, app X, will do the same for video? It could go the other way too. I mean, I know that I said at the beginning of the show that, like, okay, parents will be concerned, but if you have the mature kids, the ones that are kind of, maybe the next Ed Siders isn't using his big Mac, but he's using his iPhone that has a Vine app, and he's doing these pretty smart 6 second video, if that's what Vine is. If it is 6 seconds in editing, it would actually be pretty interesting to kind of see how that goes, but. Like you said, it won't be the kind of old dinosaur corporate ladder type company that innovates with something like that. It will be a small little startup, or it'll be the local community business that everybody kind of loves, and they'll latch onto it and kind of just try it. I mean, there's no, as long as you're not putting anything out there that's harmful in terms of content, I think that it's worth a shot to kind of just try it. They boil it down. But see, Ed, here's the thing. I guess actually, no. I guess that's the thing. I could be, because I'm not an investigative journalist, and they don't have any investigative journalists anymore. So I guess I fit the bill. Yeah, the barriers are down in that sense, and that's exciting for me, because one of the reasons I love doing this podcast is because I get to talk to guys like you who are leaders in their own industry, but also in the social industry. I get to talk to guys like Jason Falls. I've already done to CC Chapman. We'll get to talk to Jay Bear, Mitch Scholl, and the list goes on and on and on. And I think the biggest thing is that I get to make these new relationships, and it's not just me. Like I have a really good friend now up in New York City, Harrison Kratz, who has built his entire young empire by just networking and being himself and kind of asking questions and different things online. And I've started a relationship with a guy in Louisville who is a mobile developer for an app called Ready App. His name is Patrick Goodman, and he's going to be doing some stuff with Social Echoes, and his chat on Twitter called Mobile Chat will be kind of combining, doing some Captain Planet type stuff like that on the podcast. But I think another cool thing is that companies are using, like you were talking about, like the video responses. I've seen some really interesting stuff from a company called Warby Parker. What they do is, sometimes, it doesn't do it for every time, but I think the fact that they do it is awesome. They actually have been responding with like 15 second YouTube clips in tweets. Like if somebody tweets them and say, hey, your stuff's awesome or whatever, I just bought like a pair of glasses, one of their community managers or somebody within the company is allowed to create a video response and send it back to them. And that just throws people over the moon, because it's like I get to actually humanize the brand with somebody who works there. And stuff like that for video is certainly, it's certainly awe-inspiring, and it's limitless in that sense. Well, that's great. Video certainly a great tool to humanize and provide information on your product, your service, your history. It's a great storytelling medium. Ed, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Social Echoes. Where can people go to be social with you? And I know you've done very well with them, and you continue to produce great content. Ed, continued success to you, and thanks again for joining us. That'll do it for Social Echoes, Episode 7. If you like the podcast, please subscribe via iTunes, and if you love us even more, leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. You can email me, John, J-O-N, at truevoicemedia.com, to tell us what you think about the show directly, or for topics, guest ideas, anything in between. Next week, we have Christina Raimondo from Penn State. Abington. She is a student in her final semester, and it's going to be a good topic of conversation to see what students in PR, marketing, and communications are asked to do in the social sphere. I'm excited to have that conversation. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.